welcome to our Wednesday Rewind here at Believer City Church in Menominee, Wisconsin, and I'm Pastor Tim. We're streaming live this evening on the web, and we're broadcasting locally on 101.7 FM Street Level Radio. Thanks for being with us. This evening, we are rewinding our Sunday service entitled Abounding with a text from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Before we begin this evening, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll hear from John MacArthur. Father, as we have gathered both locally and abroad, we invite you in to be our teacher, to be our instructor. Our desire this evening, and each time we come together on these Wednesday evenings, is to be able to take what we discussed on Sunday and apply it directly to our personal lives, and then hopefully to be able to have a dialogue after we're done this evening that we might participate in the discussion. Thank you for your access. Thank you for your blessing and your oversight. May you be with us this evening as we delve into this word. As always, we thank you for all you're doing. Amen.
The reality is that sanctification isn't defined as necessary. It's simply defined as a reality. If you have been justified, you are being sanctified. You're in the process. The process may be slow. You may be making it slower. You may be entertaining sin in your life that slows you down. But every true believer will manifest sanctification. And what I mean by that is this. If you have genuinely been regenerated and born again, it's going to show up in your life. Ephesians 2 says this, that we have been saved by grace through faith unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. And that's why John says, if you don't love your neighbor, if you don't love the Lord, if you don't desire the fellowship of the saints, if you're not dealing with sin in your life, you're not a Christian. Sanctification isn't a necessity, it's a reality. You, by your obedience to the Lord and your time in the Word and your time in prayer using the means of grace, you decide the speed with which that sanctification takes place. But it is taking place if you are genuinely a regenerate person. Look, you can't be born again and not manifest the evidence of that. This is who you are. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, right? Old things pass away and new things come. You're a new creation. So sanctification is as much a reality as glorification. It's just a process that is affected by how obedient and willing we really are.
Clara Hill, PhD, a University of Maryland College Park psychology professor. She's the author of the book, A Meaning of Life in Life, A Therapist's Guide. Recently, she was in an interview and she remarked, and I quote, almost every problem that's brought into therapy, she said, is implicitly about the meaning of life. And such seems to be really one of the greatest forces of our lives, if not the greatest force. Now even MIT has a course 21A.157, called The Meaning of Life. Even Paul the Apostle is going to venture out into the deep end of the pool on this issue, saying that we, by implication, our lives should abound more and more, that we should be more and more in tune with our purpose, our calling, our mission. I think that everyone would agree with that careful language. Hey, even the students in course 21A.157 at MIT. And I think even they would agree that we should abound in life more and more. Now, across the board, the belief is that such abundant life and purpose is a matter of just finding and consuming some sort of magic elixir. That's what our culture thinks. I mean, it's sort of like down the rabbit's hole, so to speak. Kind of have the unspoken understanding that we need to go here or smoke this or drink that and engage in this and buy into that. And that somewhere and somehow we will find that elusive answer, that buried treasure, if you will, and then we'll be whole and we'll be complete. Thus, somewhere in our early teen years or so, we each and every one of us join the race. We start running and we usually don't stop until they put us in a box for that final departure. Running, 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 searching madly for purpose and meaning. All the while, we are still left wanting, we are still incomplete, still wondering why we are here and what all of this is about. Jesus himself once remarked in Matthew 10:39, if you cling to your life, you'll lose it, but if you give up your life, you will find it. You see, what he's saying then is in our dying to this world, we actually find life. And listen, that upside down principle, that kind of backward ideals, these are found throughout the teachings of Christ. It seems that whichever way the world was and is yet going, Jesus inevitably took the opposite road. Or maybe it's the world that took the opposite road of the teachings of Jesus. But either way, Christianity can at times seem to be, well, bizarro world. Matthew 20:26, Jesus says, whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And then in Luke 14:11, he said, whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. So you see that throughout the Gospels, we find this kind of ideal playing out over and over again, that it's running contrary, exactly contrary, to what the world is dishing out this evening. There are many scriptures like the ones I've shared, and these must therefore be entertained with a very distinct possibility that our purpose and our meaning is certainly not going to be found in, I guess, those traditional places that the world is looking this evening. Paul the Apostle, speaking under the influence of the Holy Spirit, as I said, he's going to throw his hat into the ring here. He speaks to us in this passage in terms that reflect not an arrival or not a discovery, not an epiphany, if you will. But he's speaking to us herein in more in the terms of a journey. His language is how you ought to walk. A steady moving through this life in that abounding mode. This matter, you see, it's not an issue tonight of accepting some life model. It's not adhering to some belief system, but rather it is a winning of this knowledge through the surrender of our lives. The living, gang, is in our dying. My rebirth comes from the surrender of my life to Jesus Christ. And then he begins to do in me and through me what I simply could never do, not in five lifetimes. Now, if you were with us on Sunday, you know I spoke in length concerning the fact that so many of us make verbal claims that are quite honestly never backed up with our living. We say we love Jesus, and yet little, if anything, in our lives confirm that love. Often, it's just a simple case wherein talk is cheap. After all, it's certainly a lot easier to say it than it is to live it, right? Throughout Scripture, we find countless instances wherein we are called to walk out some aspect of Christian living. This is an ideal that plays out again and again throughout the Gospels and then throughout all of the epistles. Clearly, in this idea, there's an active living aspect that we find a true and faithful Christian manifest. Jesus, he drew the line in the sand himself. Luke 6:46, he says, "Hey, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" So even Jesus, 2,000 years ago, understood this kind of dynamic that's been playing out ever since then. Paul, again, speaking in the power of God, he calls us out. He urges us, he exhorts us, the text says, to abound more and more. Now, please note again, there is no arrival point here. There is no finish line here. Just more and more. Just growing and maturing. Just walking with Jesus and experiencing him to a greater and greater degree. On Sunday, we shared Ray Stedman's comments on the Christian life, wherein he noted that walking, quote, merely consisted of two simple steps. And those two simple steps were repeated over and over again. It's not a complicated thing, he said. In the same way, the Christian life is a matter of taking two steps, one step after another. Then you're beginning to walk. Those two steps, as seen in Colossians 3, by the way, Paul describes them as put off the old man and put on the new. Then repeat them. And that is all. Keep walking through every day like that, he said. That is how Scripture exhorts us to live. Now, this account so significantly simplifies the Christian objectives in living. Again, we talked on Sunday about Enoch of the Old Testament, how he walked with God, according to Scripture, and then we're told he pleased God, and finally we're told he was taken up by God. Now, I agree, that may not always be easy, but it certainly is simple. I gotta wonder, did Enoch feel that his life had purpose and meaning? Because it expressed the way it was lived out that he did indeed. I wonder how many of us this evening are daring enough to let all of the pursuits of this world pass away for the sake of walking with God. Did you hear me now? Are you daring enough to let all the pursuits of this world pass away to take a back seat for the sake of walking with God, that he and our walk with him rises like cream to the top? That's our priority, and everything else is run through that sieve. How many of us this evening are truly willing to go all in with Christ? After all, this is the essence of the meaning of the word sanctification. And it's mentioned in verse 3 of our text, and we're certainly going to get into it to a much greater degree come this coming Sunday. The setting ourselves aside for his exclusive use, which is the meaning of sanctification, seems to have a crucial part of our understanding of this text, as well as what Paul is trying to communicate here in its totality concerning the finding of our purpose and our meaning in our lives. Now, this passage is quite clear in its language. It says that it is the will of God that we live sanctified lives. And it's hard to cling to any notion, according to the language herein, that this is merely an option, that somehow this is just an addendum, if you will, for pastors and leaders, but, you know, not for me, the ordinary Christian. No, God seeks to have all of us, all that we are, all that we have, for King and Kingdom. Now, many of us will spend our Christian lives sifting through the commands and the directions of God. And we will continually decide which of them we will keep and which of them we will toss away, or at least which of them we will marginalize. But we need to know this evening that when we do that, we do not walk with Christ, but rather we walk, well, frankly, alone. And when we attempt to pick and choose, when we attempt to talk but not do, we are attempting then to straddle the line. And what happens is we are then 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in Christ. It is there. We are lost without clarity, without purpose, and without meaning. Did Paul the Apostle look like that he didn't know his purpose? Did he strike you as the kind of guy that was living without meaning? Look, the abundant life is the only one that is all in. We are all called by God this evening to be sanctified unto Him. Set aside from all the aspects and pursuits of the world, to live in the world but not of this world, to be used now for the furtherance of the Christ and His kingdom. Gang, this is His will for you and me. And it is the sanctified life that will know what it means to live abounding. My prayers goes out to all of you this evening, and especially all those in small groups. I pray that you find the application for your life, because this one really matters this evening. God bless. We'll see you on Sunday.